Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We continue our journey through the Ten Commandments, and while you take a moment to find that, I want to formally introduce to you Mr. Brian King, who has been conducting our music in this service, the early service, and will lead it tonight. Brian King and his wife Kathy, who's been at the organ, are visiting with us this weekend. They rehearse with our choirs on Thursday night, rehearse with the youth choir this afternoon, and will lead our music in the worship services today. They're coming as prospective minister of music and prospective organist. And so I want you to meet them. Brian is a graduate of Auburn University with 2 degrees in music. Kathy as well is a graduate of Auburn University. And of course that speaks well for their taste when it comes to picking schools to attend. He has been minister of music and youth at the First Baptist Church of Lafayette now since 1977. And it's our joy to have them as our guests today. I want to encourage you to introduce yourself to them following our worship service if you've not already done so. Now we come to the Ten Commandments, and I want to read you again all 10 of the Ten Commandments, as we shall every Sunday. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in the heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. You bow with me again while we pray. Father, we bow once again to pray that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus might be preeminent in this service. And Father, I pray that you give us spiritual ears to hear not just the voice of the messenger, but primarily, Lord, to hear the voice of the living God as he speaks through his word. And so come, Father, and quicken us by your Spirit. Open our hearts and our minds to the truth that you have for us. Help us, Father, not to be hearers only, but help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we come to the third of the Ten Commandments, the one found in verse 7, and the commandment says that you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Names are significant. Following the bloodbath of the Civil War, a prominent group of wealthy men approached General Robert E. Lee. They had an offer for him, and they wanted to talk to him about it, and so he gave them the courtesy of listening to their offer. It seems that these men, who were men of great wealth, desired to establish a new company, and it was an insurance company, and so they came to him and said, we would like you to be honorary president of this insurance company. And there are absolutely no duties at all. There's no responsibility for you. You'll just be honorary president. We just want the use of your name. We'll pay you a handsome salary if you'll let us do so, with no responsibility at all. General Lee pondered their offer for a moment, and then, very simply but very clearly, he looked at the men and he said, gentlemen, I have nothing left but my name, and my name is not for sale. Well, a man's reputation and a man's character is wrapped up in his name. When you hear a name, you think of a man's character, his personality, his reputation, his attributes. This was true in biblical times, much more so than it is today. For you see, in the times of the Old and New Testament, men and women were given their names at birth, and their names were symbolic or representative of something about their character. It's true in the life of the man who was named Jacob. Now, this word Jacob means supplanter or trickster. And if you know anything at all about Jacob, you know that Jacob was certainly that. Jacob was one who cheated his older brother Esau out of the birthright and out of the blessing. And yet, sometime after Jacob engaged in that form of deceit, he had an experience with God. He met the Lord and he spent a night wrestling with an angel of God. And as a result of that encounter with God, Jacob was a changed man. And after Jacob changed, God gave him a different name, a new name, the name Israel, which means the Prince of God. Then there's the prophet Isaiah, whose name stands for or means the salvation of God. There's the prophet Jeremiah, whose name literally means the mighty deliverer of God's thunderbolts of judgment. Then there's Malachi, whose name means my messenger. And on we could go, looking at the names of these biblical characters and the meaning of their names. Now in our 20th century life, names don't mean quite what they did, though they do to a degree. Nicknames more than anything else tell the world something about us. When we hear the nickname Shorty, we generally think of somebody who's rather short. Or if we hear the nickname Slim, we think of somebody who's skinny. And if we hear the nickname something like an egghead, then we think of somebody who makes all A's in school. Or if we hear the name Red, then we think of somebody who's got red hair. And so to a small degree, nicknames today sort of represent what names in biblical times represented. But in those days, a name meant something. Your name stood for your character, for your personality, for your reputation. Such is the case with the name of Jehovah God, Yahweh God. His name represents His character. For you see, God's name is sacred. God's name is set apart. God's name is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the name of our Lord God. And Jehovah God, the name of Jehovah God, stands for His character. His name is symbolic of who He is. Now if that's the case, and it certainly is, then since God is the Creator, then mankind, who is the created, should refrain from ever misusing the name of God. For you see, whenever we misuse the name of our God, we bring dishonor to the Lord Himself. In those biblical times when the scribes would sit down in their places to transcribe the Scripture, to make copies of the Scripture, when he would come to the name of God, Jehovah God, the scribe would rise from his place. He would go and spend time in prayer and fasting. And then he would completely bathe himself. And after doing that, then the scribe would come back and take a new quill. And with that new quill, he would write the name of Jehovah God. Then after he was done writing the name of Jehovah God, he would take that new quill and burn it. Then he would burn the clothes that he had on. He would bathe again. He would redress. Then he would go back to the place where he transcribed the Scriptures. And then he would sit down and begin to write again with the old quill. A devout Hebrew in biblical times was very careful not to misuse the name of the Lord God. In fact, it was seldom, if ever, spoken. Very rarely was the name of God spoken. And so we know from our study of Old Testament history that the name of Jehovah God is a sacred, holy name. And because His name is sacred, we need to be very careful that we don't misuse His name. Now I want to suggest to you there are at least three ways by which 20th century man is guilty of misusing the name of Jehovah God. I don't mean to imply by that there are only three, but I think there are at least these three basic ways. The first that I want us to consider this morning is profanity. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, profanity is misuse of the name of our God. Profanity is a serious offense, for the Bible says that we are judged by our words. Turn, if you will, with me to the book of Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew chapter 12. And in the book of Matthew chapter 12, we find Jesus saying that our words, our conversation, our speech reflects who we are. And it is one means by which God will judge us. So, speech is an indication of character. Now listen, you can tell what a man is by listening to what he says. Socrates said, "Speak that I may see you." And so, it's what's inside that counts. You see, your speech reveals what's in your heart. It reveals your character. And, it's like they say in the country, It's what's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket. What's in the heart is what comes out of the mouth. And if profanity comes out of the mouth, that means that profanity is in the heart. That we have a low estimate of the value of the name of Jehovah God. Now look what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now where does the mouth get its message? Where do the words come from? They just come bubbling out of the heart. They just come out. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now look in 35. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Listen, if evil comes out, it's because evil is within. But if good comes out, it's because good is within. Now look what Jesus had to say in verse 36. We need to hear this very carefully. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. What's God going to judge us by? Our words. We must give an account to a holy God for the words that we speak. Now, verse 37. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So we're going to be declared not guilty. It's going to be, among other things, on the basis of our speech. And if we're declared condemned, it'll be on the basis of our words. Now, the way we talk of God, the way we speak of God, is particularly important. Because the way we talk of God is an indication of what we think of God. You show me how you use the name of God, and I'll tell you some very true things about yourself. Some things you may or may not want to hear. Now, all sin is terrible, and in the sight of a holy God, all sin needs to be avoided. But how much more so is the sin of profanity? How tragic is the sin of profanity? Profanity, as far as I'm concerned, simply shows an empty head and a wicked heart. And we need to remember that it is a sin that the Bible very clearly, explicitly declares will be judged. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, what does profanity show? Well, the first thing that profanity shows is an utter contempt for God. Profanity shows an utter contempt for God. Now, the name of Jesus Christ is a precious name. Symbolic of His holy character, His atoning sacrifice on Calvary's cross, His resurrection from the dead. And one who would take the precious name of Jesus Christ and use it in a profane expression, or misuse it, or abuse it, or one who would take up the name of the thrice holy God of Israel and use that name in profanity is one who has an utter contempt for the character and the attributes of our God. There's a second thing that profanity shows. Not only does it show an utter contempt for God, but the second thing that it shows is rebellion against God. And you say, well, I understand what rebellion is, but how could speech be rebellion against God? Well, it's rebellion because one of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And if you take up His name in profanity, you have misused that name. You have rebelled against a clear-cut statement from Jehovah God Himself. And so it is rebellion against God. There's a third thing that profanity shows. That is that a man who uses profanity has a rotten, rotten character. Now men, women, if you're guilty of misusing the name of the Lord's name, or the Lord's name in vain and profanity, I believe that your character is rotten. And you say, well, preacher, that's coming down pretty hard on me now. I don't do a lot of bad things. I don't get drunk and I don't commit adultery and I've never taken anyone's life and I've never stolen anything. And I don't do all the bad things that the world knows about. All I do is just cuss a little bit. And don't do that too much. That's just my besetting weakness. Listen. It is altogether possible, if not probable, that profanity, the misuse of the Lord's name, is a greater sin than is the sin of taking somebody's life. You say, that's a pretty strong statement. How can you make that claim? Well, it's like this. Who's more important? The created or the creator? Man or God? Now, when we take a person's life, we have shown little respect, no respect and no value for human life. And that's a terrible thing, and that is sin. But when we take God's name in vain, when we take up the name of Jehovah God in profanity, we've shown little or no respect for God. Now, which is the greater sin, to show no respect for human life or to show no respect for God Himself? I suggest to you that it is a greater sin to misuse the name of the Lord God than it is to kill. Because that is a straight sin against God Himself. A man who would use profanity has a character which is rotten. And there's a fourth thing that profanity shows, and that is that the one who uses profanity is one who has a lack of intelligence. Profanity shows a lack of intelligence. Those who engage in profanity are simply feeble minds trying to express themselves forcibly. And I want to underline that word feeble. Feeble minds. Listen. As rich as the English language is, filled with adjectives and adverbs and modifiers, it is amazing to me that some people's vocabulary is so bankrupt that they can hardly carry on a conversation without using some profane word. Now, you'll have to pardon the expression today. I'm going to use some profane words, not in a profane way. It's almost brine on my lips to say these things. But I want to make sure I communicate today. I don't want anybody going out of here and saying this preacher confused you. I'm not trying to shoot over your head, friends. I'm trying to get right in there where you understand it. But it's true. People just use profane expressions, profane words, four-letter words, just like they meant nothing at all. Just misuse these words. And some of them can hardly carry on a conversation without using profanity. For instance, someone says, "I got a car and it runs as fast as hell." And it's his word. That's his hobby word. That's his trade word. You know, he sort of goes to town on that one. Or the man who has the car who's fast as hell is driving down the road and there's somebody in front of him who's going 35 and it's on a hill and a curve and he wants to get around and he can't. He says, "That car up there is going slow as hell." Now, what does that say? Fast as hell, slow as hell. Does that say anything to you? It shows an utter lack of intelligence. So we say, it's wide as hell, it's narrow as hell, it's tall as hell, it's short as hell, it's rich as hell, he's poor as hell, he's old as hell, he's young as hell. Now you tell me, what does that say? That shows that man hadn't got much gray matter up there. I say, that's dumb as. Anything. Profanity shows the utter lack of intelligence. Listen, if you want to impress people how dumb you are, just sprinkle your conversation with a few four-letter words and we'll all know. Number five. A fifth thing that profanity shows is a hatred for our fellow man. I'm going to come down hard here. I want you to hear this, but it's true. Profanity shows a hatred for our fellow man. For you see, to engage in a profane expression is to take up upon our lips a wicked prayer. When we say, "damn you," or "God damn you," or "go to hell," in effect, what we're doing is we're praying that these people be consigned to perdition. That's a wicked, wicked, wicked prayer. That's a wicked request to make of God. Now, I'm talking where a lot of you itch, and you students hear this. I go to Jordan-Hare Stadium on the Saturday afternoons in the fall, and from the student section, I hear stuff like, "track 'em tigers just like eagles. Give 'em blank, you war blank eagle." And they don't, and the blanks are filled in, and God is not pleased. Christian students and people who attend Lakeview, who are members of Lakeview, are over there doing it, and they say, "doesn't really matter. I don't mean it." We go to the ballpark and we hear them say, "go to hell, Alabama, go to hell." Do you know what you're saying? It is not funny. Somewhere, sometimes, I wish the Christians of this world would stand up and say, "go to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ." We take up the name of our Jehovah God, our sovereign, holy God, the thrice holy God of Israel, and we invite men to do something that we have no business inviting them to do. There's a sixth thing that profanity is. Profanity shows a warped concept of God. And the reason it shows a warped concept of God is because God never damns anyone. God never sends anybody to hell. God never condemns anyone. Men condemn themselves. Men damn themselves. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to die on the cross to shed His blood that we might be forgiven. Jesus came to set us free from the condemnation that we already are under. Men are condemned not because God condemns them, but because they've committed moral and spiritual suicide. And to say God damn you is to say that God does something that God in fact doesn't do. God does not damn anybody. It is a warped concept of God. Now the strange thing about the sin of profanity is that you don't get anything in return. A man who steals at least gets to, if he doesn't get caught, gets to keep what he stole. A man who commits adultery at least gets to satiate his lust for a few minutes. A man who goes out and takes another's life at least has the satisfaction, if there's any in that, in having involved himself in some revenge. But what does a person get who uses profanity? One thing. The judgment of God. God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, who misuses his name. Engage in profanity and all you're going to get is judgment. It's like the fish who bites a hook and there's no bait on there. The fish at least expects to get a little worm or something when he bites a hook. Profanity, my brothers and sisters, is a serious offense against the Holy God. And those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ must put a seal over our lips and guard our lips and make sure that our conversation reflects glory and honor to Jesus and is not seasoned with profanity. Now there's a second way in which we can misuse the name of the Lord our God, and that is the sin of frivolity. The sin of frivolity. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. Now, the sin of frivolity is the sin of just making light of God's name, just sort of taking up God's name in a lighthearted, easy come, easy go manner. Now listen, we need to be careful that we don't use the sacred, holy name of Jehovah God in a frivolous manner. He is not the Lordy Lordy. He is not the man upstairs, and it ought to never come from a Christian's lips, the phrase, the man upstairs in description of God. Let's call him who he is. Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Yahweh, but not the man upstairs. And there's absolutely no place in the life of a Christian to make jokes about deity. I believe there's a place for humor in the Christian life. I believe there's a place for humor in worship service. I think we have some humorous things to happen in here most every Sunday. But if they do, it's either by accident or it's by design in order to illustrate or to underline or to drive home a message. But just to get up and crack jokes about deity just for the sake of cracking jokes is altogether out of place. And notice what Ephesians 5:4 says. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So we understand that Christians are to be serious. They're not to be overly serious. There's a place for laughter. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And there's a proper place for humor, but there's also an improper place for humor. And we need to draw the line and see that we don't step on the wrong side of the line. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon, the great London preacher, did he ever use humor in his messages? And he said, yes, sometimes I do. He said, I tickle my oyster until he opens his shell. Then I stick the knife in. Well, that's okay. You use humor for a purpose. You use it for a reason. But you never invoke the name of Jehovah God just simply to be witty or funny. I want to suggest to you this morning that we use God's name in a frivolous manner when we use the wrong kinds of music. Talk about our God. Now let me say to you simply this. I believe that music primarily has been given to us for worship and not for witness. I don't mean by that no witness can take place through music, because it can. But the primary function, the primary purpose of music is not to win lost people to Jesus. It's not that we have music to draw in unconverted people and win them to Christ through our rock music. The primary purpose of music is to exalt the name of Jehovah God. to honor Him, to lift Him up, to magnify His precious name. One of the dangerous trends that I see in our society today is the trend to have the beat so hard and so filled with rock that you can't even hear what the musicians are saying, the singers are saying. Friends, that is not right. I read an ad that said, come hear Johnny Jazzy on his tootin' trumpet. This cat can really groove for Jesus. There'll be macho music, tantalizing testimonies, a cool collection, and punchy prayers. Now that may appeal to you, but that doesn't appeal to me a bit. And I have a feeling not too many lost people are attracted by that. Listen, there's enough groovy music around where the beat drowns out the message. I believe in rhythm, I believe in harmony, I believe in melody. I believe we ought to have all three, but we ought to be careful that the music is music unto the Lord. And we ought to be careful that the music doesn't overcome the message. The primary thing is the words, the music, the message itself. And when we place the music over the message, then we are guilty of taking God's name in a frivolous manner. Not only do we take God's name and misuse God's name or take it in vain by profanity and by frivolity, but the third way is by hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And here we read that Jesus said it's possible to profess allegiance to God without actually having that kind of allegiance to God. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, yes, there are going to be folks who pledge allegiance to God, but in fact they disobey God. They claim the name of Jesus Christ. Were you to ask them, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. But in fact, their lifestyle betrays their claim. They say one thing and live another. They acknowledge Him with their tongue. They deny Him with their actions. You see, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we take on His name. Like when a man and a woman stand before the pastor and they exchange wedding vows, she gives up her name. She takes on a new name, or at least that used to be true. That's not altogether true anymore, is it? Some of them keep their old names. You know, they come together, the new husband, the new wife, and they stand and they pledge their love and allegiance to one another and their faithfulness to one another, and then after that, she has a new name. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we have a new name. Christian. We take on His name. Therefore, it is absolutely important that our lifestyle be consistent with what comes out of our lips. There's a Japanese fable that says that a Japanese died and went to heaven, and when he got up there, he was looking around and seeing all the interesting things, and there was a big ship over on one side, and on the ship were just a whole lot of tongues. And so the Japanese who had just gone to heaven, he asked someone who was there, he said, what's this? What are all these tongues laying over here on the shelf for? The man replied, these are the tongues who speak sweet words without virtue. These are the tongues who said what was right, but they didn't do anything to back it up. And so their tongues have come to heaven, and the rest of them have gone somewhere else. Good thought. Listen, we don't want to be guilty of the sin of hypocrisy by misusing the name of the Lord our God. You know, it is altogether possible. In fact, it probably happens every Sunday, probably happened this morning. I'm sure it did scores of times. We come to the Lord's house and misuse the Lord's name in hypocrisy in our singing. We open our hymnals and we sing, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. And we go out the back door and we haven't resigned any folly of sin. We continue to live in sin. Or we sing, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. We give Him very little, if anything. Or we sing, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold, and yet we can't even give God the tithe that the Bible says is His. Whenever we profess our allegiance and love to Jehovah God, but we deny that profession by a disobedient lifestyle, then we are guilty of misusing the name of our God
by hypocrisy.
Friends, I just want to say to you that our lips and our lives should be used to magnify the name of God. It's not either or, it's both and. It's not, I say I love Jesus and live like I want to, or I live for Jesus but never speak up for Him. It is both. We need to live the consistent Christian life. And we also need to use our lips to magnify His holy name. And if our lifestyle betrays our speech, then we're guilty of hypocrisy. An officer in the church came to his pastor one day and he related an experience that had happened to him at work. The man worked at an iron works, and on the job one day, a vat of molten lead spilled. And one of his fellow laborers, co-workers, was burned, severely burned by the lead. When the lead began to singe his flesh, the cry went out across the plant, "Get a doctor, get a doctor." But the man who lay there burning and dying said, "It's too late for a doctor. Somebody help me with my soul." And the pastor said, "Well, did you talk to him about the Lord? Did you tell him how he could be saved?" And he said, "Pastor, I couldn't." And the pastor said, "Sure you could." He said, "You could have told him what Jesus means to you, or you could at least have knelt by his side and said for him or with him a prayer." And the man said, "Pastor, I just couldn't." He said, "A dozen times I wanted to kneel at the side of my coworker who lay there dying and tell him how to know the Lord. But," he said, "you need to know that I'm not the same man on the job that I am at church." He said, "Those men at the job never heard me teach a Sunday school class. They've never seen me take up collection or heard me pray in church. But," he said, "Pastor, they've seen me take the Lord's name in vain and use profanity, and they've seen me lose my temper on numerous occasions." He said, "Pastor, they know that I engage in some dishonest practices, and they're aware of that." And he said, "Whenever I wanted to kneel and tell that dying man how to be saved," he said, "Pastor," he said, "my life closed my lips." God forbid that the lifestyle of one who names the name of Jesus Christ, who names the name of Jehovah God, the thrice holy God of Israel, would ever have his lips sealed by an unholy lifestyle. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Would you bow with me while we pray?